You are listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprung's disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprung's with a positive message throughout.
Hello and welcome to episode 117 of Tom's Hirschsprung's podcast. I'm joined this afternoon by Shakira. Shakira, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. Now, you have Hirschsprung's, and we are going to talk really about your story, your journey with Hirschsprung's. So it's over to you.
Thank you so much for having me. And like I said, I feel as if, you know, I need to talk about it. You know, I am a shy person and, you know, like to keep things, you know, between, like, with myself and my mom, who actually been there with me through there. And also other family members as well. But so a little backstory about me. I'm 34 years old. I was born October the 26th. And when I was born, you know, I was born with it, but they weren't educated on, you know, Hirschsprung's disease. They was like, oh, you know, just add fiber. But I kept, Le Bonheur Hospital was like my second home. Like, I stayed in the hospital and they was like, well, let's try enema. And they would do enemas until like my behind would just bleed and I would be in so much pain. I was like, well, we don't understand, you know, why she's having this problem, because everything, you know, is, she's perfectly fine, but I wasn't perfectly fine at all. So that was like, just increase her fiber. So that's what my mom did. She increased my fiber. And so as I got older, like, you know, growing up, I still had the complication. And I was like, well, try prune juice. And I was like, no. And I was like, oh, well, try mineral oil. And mineral oil, it actually was better because it was just, it didn't have a taste. And it didn't, like, gripe my stomach or anything. So it was pretty much okay for a couple of years, I think, or a couple of months. And then after that, it just went like right back to like, okay, what is going on? So as I got in, I think it was like high school is like when it started to get worse. And I would just cry, and it would look like as if 5 or 6 months pregnant. And I was like, God, I'm in so much pain, like something is wrong. And I saw my mama, I said, look, something is not right. And I know it's not, because there's no reason why I can't go to the restroom. There's no reason why I'm hurting this bad as I am. And so I said, I'm gonna take a stand. So I called around, gave me an appointment, and he wanted to do a cleanse. And I didn't really care for it because, you know, you would have to disrobe from bottom down. And they would have this thing, and it would basically, you bag into it, and it goes into your rectum. And they would put, I think, like, water to try to flush it out. And I was like, oh, it helps. And then after that, that was like, we're going to do a colonoscopy. So did the colonoscopy. I had to drink so much stuff. And even with me drinking all that, I still wasn't clean. I was like, wow, that was like, this stuff normally works. And I was like, well, let's do a week prior to all the way up until. So that's what I did. Unsuccessful again. And I was like, well, let's try this and this and try the Miralax. And I was like, why am I going to keep taking this? And it's going to keep making me sick. It made me so sick. I was just throwing up. I was shaking. I was like, I'm not going to keep doing this, like, because it's not working. So I told my mom, I was like, I need to go somewhere else. So I stopped going to the doctor. I went to a different doctor. And this doctor was like, okay, well, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. We're going to get to the bottom. Well, okay, I'm the best doctor it is out here. And I was like, okay, I really didn't trust it. So I was like, I'll just give you a shot. Epic failure. He couldn't figure it out. So then I went to a different doctor and he asked, you know, what was going on. And I told him and he said, well, you know, when they were telling you to add fiber to your diet, you were only making your condition worse. So I didn't know that. So I was making my condition worse than what it already was. And I was like, oh my God. So then I just stopped using, you know, fiber. I had cut it all the way down for a minute. And then I was like, well, let me try to go on a, you know, a meatless diet. So I did fruits. I did smoothies. I was like, I'm going to do a smoothie like for like 3 weeks and see if it'll help. Did the smoothies. Didn't work. I did with just baked fish. Didn't work. I tried asparagus. And I used to love asparagus. Well, one day I caught myself and I eat some asparagus with my fish. And the next day I was in the hospital. And I was like, oh my God, like what is going on? My condition was like, yep, nope. So now I can't even eat asparagus anymore. It's a lot of stuff that I used to like love and like eat. Now it's like I can't eat it because he don't agree with me. And it was like, yeah, nope, nope. Every time I try something, nope, go straight to the emergency room. And so it was just frustrating because I'm like, look, something is wrong. Like, I need help. Like, I was just crying. I was like, just please tell me what it is. Like, I need help. I really do. And so they was like, okay, well, we're going to do another.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Colonoscopy. So, did the other colonoscopy. Epic failure. They could never get me all the way cleaned out. Never. No matter. And I would drink jugs and jugs of it. And I'm like, oh, like I hated it because it would make me so sick. And no matter how much I used the restroom, it was never enough to go do a successful colonoscopy. So I started going to this doctor named Dr. Katz, and he wanted to do a test where, you know, you take the pills and see how long it took to, you know, for it to come out. Epic failure. Everything was just failing, and I was just like, oh my God. And so I was going, one time I got sick, and when I got sick, I went to the hospital, and my bowels were literally seconds from rupturing. I made it to the hospital just in time. They had to rush me to the OR, and they put me to sleep. And they had to do a fecal disinfection because I had a blockage in my stomach the size of a newborn baby head stuck in my rectum and in my stomach. So it was just tough for me. And I was just in so much pain, and I was just so uncomfortable. And all I could do was cry because it's like, what is it? Like, no, seriously, like, what is it? Because it's just, I'm tired of suffering. And it went from that point to where I was in the hospital every 2.5-3 weeks getting fecal disinfections done because of I kept getting blockages. And then my stomach would run off so bad to like where a piece of it would just break around of it, and it would just make my stomach run off, and it was exhausting because you can't get any sleep, you can't eat anything. So I was like, but try flour and water. So I started doing it every time I would get it would run off real bad because it would irritate me as well. And so I would try that. I drink that, stopped working. So they was like, we're going to do a biopsy on you. And I was like, okay, I need it because something is wrong. And so, again, like, they never told me my results. And the reason how I knew it was Hirschsprung's disease is because, so one day I went back to St. Francis Hospital, and I was so, oh my God, I was so sick. And my insurance, it lapsed because I had just turned, you know, 18. I was like, okay, well, you know, you're not on your mom's insurance anymore. So they turned me around and they wouldn't see me. So, and I was hurting so bad, and I feel like my bowels was finna rupture. And I was like, God, please don't let this rupture and kill me. So my mama, she rushed me to Methodist South. And once I got there, they checked me in and did everything. They did it, wanted to do a CAT scan. So I said, okay. Once I did the CAT scan, the doctor came back and he said, well, how long have you had Hirschsprung's disease? And I was like, they always said it could either be Crohn's or Hirschsprung's disease, but I never knew it was Hirschsprung's disease. And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, you have Hirschsprung's disease. I said, well, I never knew that. And he said, yeah, St. Francis diagnosed you with it. He was like, they didn't tell you? And I was like, no, they didn't tell me. And he was like, well, you have Hirschsprung's disease, and right now we finna rush you to the OR because your bowels are finna rupture. So I was like, just imagine how I feel getting that bomb dropped on top of me. And I had to literally go into straight into emergency surgery because my bowels was finna rupture. And I was like, oh my God. So once I got a name to it, I kept trying to find a doctor here in Memphis who I could see, you know, that'll try to help me. Couldn't get no help. So the surgeon who I met at Meth itself, his name is Dr. Rodney Martin. And he was a surgeon. So he stayed doing a surgery. I mean, he told me to come to his office and, you know, we would see. And he would try to help me. So he would do fecal disinfections on me. And I would go home like a few days later. He would send me home with, you know, a couple pain pills. And then, so one time I actually got sick. And I was like, okay, let me pick up my bag because I know my bowel's been a rupture, you know. And then I was trying to get disability because I couldn't work anywhere. And it was so hard for me. And so I remember one time I was supposed to start working at FedEx. And I went, did my orientation. I wasn't feeling good while I was there, but I was like, you know, I'm just, you know, toughing it out. When I got through with my orientation, I literally walked outside. I was waiting on my mom to come pick me up. And I was hurting so bad, I collapsed in the parking lot. When I woke up, I was in the hospital. And they were like, well, we don't know how to unstop you. And I was like, this is crazy. And then my mom, she called my manager and said that, you know, hey, she was sick, she collapsed, but she really need her insurance. So he let me come to work, and I worked all the way up until he retired. And after that, I had to pull out because I couldn't work anywhere else because they wouldn't let me, you know, because of my condition. And it was just tough. So when I started going to Methodist South and seeing my surgeon, Dr. Martin, he told me, since you don't have any insurance, you know, you have to, you have to pay a lot of money to get your large colon removed because my colon, it wasn't working at all. It wasn't functioning. It was just terrible. So I was trying to get my disability. That was like, oh, well, we're thinking she's fine. You know, it took so long for it to get approved. And once it got approved, I went back to the hospital because I got sick, of course. And they did the fecal disinfection. And so normally he would let me go home, you know, after a few days of being in the hospital. He would send me out with pain medication and he'll have me follow up in his office. So this time I was in the hospital. I had put on my clothes. I was like, I'm gonna go home, you know. And you know, I'm going to see him outpatient. And so he came in and he was like, why you got your clothes on? And I was like, well, you always let me go home, you know. And he was like, yeah, you need to take your clothes back off. And I was like, what's wrong? And he was like, it wasn't successful. Tomorrow I'm removing your entire large colon. So, yeah, you got less than 24 hours. And I was like, what? And so I was like, oh, my God. And I was so scared. I was in surgery for so long, so many hours. And it was a lot. And so after that, I thought maybe, you know, I would be better. Absolutely not. Still had complications. Still was having surgeries. I'm talking about when I've had over 100+ surgeries and I'm still having them to this day. And it's so bizarre because it's like, I need help. And I can't get help here.
No, that's...
And it's so tough.
That's...
It's so tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's just an incredible story thus far. Just in terms of, I can't quite get the whole, you were diagnosed with Hirschsprung's, but nobody kind of told you. That's the thing, or nobody kind of told you or your mom or whoever that you had Hirschsprung's, which, I mean, that's astonishing to me that nobody, at what age, because you said you were kind of around sort of high school age, at what age did somebody finally tell you you had it?
I found out when I was in my 20s. So I had literally like 21, 22 is when I found out, because I had went to the hospital and I was like, well, your insurance left and they won't see you. And so my mom was like, I'm going to rush you to another hospital. And this, I was able to find out. And again, it's just so crazy because, like, I need help and I can't get the help here in Memphis. I can't. As far as pain wise, I can't get help here because they want to, okay, well, let's do a nerve block. Okay, so, after I got the large portion of my colon removed, I thought everything would be okay, but it wasn't. I now have a ileostomy bag, and I had to get a prostatectomy done? Is what they call Barbie butt.
Yes, so yes, I the name's gone out of my head, but yes, I know what you mean, but the name's gone out of my head.
Yes, and it's just, and I'm still having surgery to this day, and I've been trying to get help because, again, I can't get help here in Memphis, and I've tried everything. But a couple of years, like maybe 2 years ago, like 2004, 2005. It was 2004. Yeah. So my grandmother, my grandmother and her pastor, they, that was praying for me. And I was like, hey, what's going on? And I told them, I was like, I don't know, and I need help. And so I started calling around, trying to see where I could get help from. And I got in contact with Shane's Hospital. It's in Gainesville, Florida. And I went there where they actually came up with the money for me to fly out there. And when I got up there, got admitted to the hospital and they were helping me out. But I had to leave because of financial wise. And my mom, I didn't want my mom to lose her job. So I left and came back here. And it's just been the same since. Like, okay, you can't get any help from anywhere. And I'm not the person to, just ask for help. And what people fail to realize is with Hirschsprung's disease, it comes with a lot of things. Like, I had,
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Heart surgery. I had a tumor that was on the back of my neck that I had to get removed. And once I got it removed, I thought, okay, since they closed it, I would be okay. No, it burst wide open. And it was just terrible. And it's a lot. It's a lot. Some days are like, I have a lot of bad days. But when I do have my good days, I praise them. Because like, yay. It don't have me today. I don't feel down. I don't feel, sad or whatever. But it's a lot. And yeah. A lot of people they don't realize or understand, but this is a serious condition, and you would never know until it's you walking in the shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, Hirschsprung's is such an odd one, isn't it? Because it is so different for everybody. And you'll have, I've spoken to people before who have, they've had the pull-through surgery and then kind of nothing else really. They'll have pull-through, everything will seem as, you know, as normal can be. And then they'll live the rest of their lives. And then you have some who are sort of on right on the other end of the spectrum of, you know, hundreds of surgeries in and out of hospital, and then where everything gets a lot more complicated. So Hirschsprung's, I think, you know, for anybody listening, Hirschsprung's is very different in different people. And also with it being very rare, it's also very difficult for people to, I mean, even know what the condition is, what part of the body it even affects. If you've never heard of Hirschsprung's before, you wouldn't automatically go, well, it's a stomach condition. And then to think, well, actually it's very different in lots of different people, I think is something that's definitely important to bear in mind. So when you're going through a lot of different surgeries, a lot of issues, are you, as well as talking to lots of different doctors, are you doing bits and pieces of your own research as well and trying to sort of look and find out, you know, what could potentially be the issue as well as talking to different doctors?
Well, the doctors that I've talked to, you know, is they get it, but they don't get it. And it's like, you know, you have the worst case of it. And it's just like, we don't know how to approach you. We don't know how to help you. And it's different. It's difficult. And I look online and I look at different people's videos and I try to, you know, do my own research and figure, okay, what can I do to, you know, make this not so much of a hard, but kind of semi-normal, you know. Is, you know, and like you said, a lot of people's situations are different, and people be like, well, what's that? Oh, you just got a stomach condition. You can't use the rest. I mean, all you have to do is use this and you can go. Like, no, that's not it. Like, you don't understand. You couldn't even fathom the surgeries and the procedures and just everything along with Hirschsprung's in itself. Like, you wouldn't know what it is. You wouldn't know how the other person feel. But I feel as if for us who have it, like, we can understand each other because we go through it, and like, nobody else understand what it is. Like, one girl, she asked me, she said, what do you think? You just need to be on like laxatives and everything will be okay? Or do you think, you know, you need to take this and, you know, you'll be better? And it's like, no. You have the slightest idea. And she was like, well, they say, you know, you catch it at a baby and then it can be reversed and, you know, everything is. No, it's not. It's not reversible. You're stuck with this for life. It's, you know, some people, they just don't understand.
No, that's right. And I think it was as we record now, last week, I asked for people's assumptions with Hirschsprungs so that I could do a post about it. And there was a lot in there talking about, well, you had it as a baby, so therefore you don't have it anymore. Well, that's not true. You will always have Hirschsprungs. Yes, you'll have, you know, in many cases, in almost all cases, you will have surgery in order to remove the part that doesn't work, the pull-through surgery. There's three different ways of doing that. But, you know, just because you had the surgery, I think it's really important to recognize individuality in everybody, that just because you had the surgery, that doesn't necessarily mean that everything's fine. It also doesn't necessarily mean that you won't have surgery again. It is, I think you're right, it is really individual, really, really individual. You said also you had, because obviously you had the colon removed, and you said you had the worst case of Hirschsprungs. Did they give a proper medical name for that, or did they just say this was, you know, just a very severe case?
They just said that I have the worst case of Hirschsprung's disease. And, you know, again, like Memphis, don't get me wrong, I love where I live. But again, they're not educated, you know, and I can't get help here. So it's just like, oh, well, we're going to figure it out. And then that would get so far into it, and I'd be like, okay, yeah. We thought we knew what we were doing, but no, we don't know what we're doing. Like, it's way deeper than what we thought and what we could handle. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot, you know. And it gets overwhelming at times.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it comes with different things. And I went to the hospital and I was like, oh, well, we found something and it looked like cancer. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And I was like, you know, we sent it in your stomach. And I'm like, well, I'm just praying to God that once they retest it, it's not, because it's a lot. It's a whole lot. And having a lot of surgeries, this, you know, on your stomach and other parts that Hirschsprung's disease will show up with. Like some people, like one girl, she said, she asked me, she said, so when you have Hirschsprung's disease, you just had Hirschsprung's disease and that's it? No, like a lot of people, they have Hirschsprung's and it comes with a lot of different other stuff. Like I saw one story. This lady, she said she had her son had Hirschsprung's disease, and along with his Hirschsprung's disease, he had heart problems and epilepsy. Like, it's just not, you know, just that by itself. It's a lot way more to it than that. And it's just, man, and I just keep fighting and I keep trying. And it's just like, a good day is a good day. And a bad day is like, okay, it's a bad day. I'm mostly in bed, like balled up crying with a heating pad on my stomach. It's just hard. It is.
Yeah.
And I just...
You're right. And there's a lot of other associated conditions. Again, things that I didn't know. I mean, there's some that are probably more well known, like Down syndrome and Hirschsprung's. A lot of people do have that, but there are a lot of conditions that, again, how much is related to the Hirschsprung's and how much is just having that separate condition on its own, I don't know. Again, that'd be individual in everybody. But there are a lot of other associated conditions when it comes to Hirschsprungs. You mentioned there about good days and bad days. And I think everyone with Hirschsprungs can definitely relate to that. Whether you have a more severe case or whether you have a less severe case, I guess. Everybody goes through those good days, those bad days, and sometimes there's just no reason for it. It's not necessarily something you've eaten or something you've done or whatever. It's just what it is. But talk to me about the good days for you. What do the good days look like for you?
Good days for me is like, you know, I get to interact with my 15-year-old brother. I get to go outside and, you know, play with him. A good day is me dancing, and a good day is me going outside walking, because I live downtown, so it's real pretty and, you know, peaceful. And when it's not freezing, you know, I love to go walk. But lately, I was like, you know what, if it's a good day, I just stay in the house and I just like line dance and I just spend time with my family, you know. So a good day is just like, I love my good days. Me and my brother watch movies together. And it's not so much of me condemned to a bed, you know, confined to a bed. So that's what a good day is for me.
Yeah, no, that's, and I think that's another thing when I guess this kind of goes for chronic illness in general, but those things like going out for a walk, not being, you know, confined to one particular place or one part of the house, being able to play sports, being able to go and see friends, socialize, go out wherever. I think a lot of people take that for granted. If you don't have a chronic illness or anything of that nature, I think people definitely take those things for granted. And it's interesting you say, you know, my good days are when I can do this, 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 and this, which I think a lot of people without our condition and without a chronic illness condition would probably say, well, that's a normal day, you know. So I think that's really interesting, that sort of the good days are just, again, are just when you're just kind of well enough. Would that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, and like I said, I mean, with Hirschsprung's disease, you don't get to pick and choose, like, man, today's a good day. Because a lot of people be like, dog, you still don't feel good, you know? And I'm like, if I had the power, I mean, I would be better every day, you know? But again, with Hirschsprung's disease, you don't get to pick when it's a good day. You don't get to pick whether you're going to have a great day or a bad day. It's just like, hey, here I go.
No, you don't. You're absolutely right. Yeah, it'd be great if we could. If, like, you know, every month we could say, okay, well, you're allowed 5 bad days and 25 good days, and we could just pick the good days and the bad days. That would be amazing.
It would. A lot of people, you know, I tell people all the time, like, you know, with this condition and by being so bad, you don't get to choose. You know, if I'm like, today isn't a good day for me, but I'm hanging in here, I'm going to keep fighting until I can't fight no more. And then again, when it's a good day, I'm like, hey, I'm dancing and I'm messing around on TikTok, playing, dancing with my brothers. So, I mean, I cherish my good days, you know. And I feel like people need to cherish their great days, you know, despite of the Hirschsprung's disease, despite of us not feeling good. And I totally agree with you with what you said, because, you know, if it's an us versus a normal person, it's like, well, you know, that's normal for us. You know, it always a good day. Sometimes, 9 times out of 10, it's always going to be a good day for them. But it's not like it for us. It's totally different.
Absolutely. And I think that's an excellent sentiment to wrap up on, because I think, you know, having those good days and cherishing those good days, I think cherishing potentially what we take for granted. And again, even with people who have Hirschsprung's, and most days are good days, I think we take those for granted as well, that just how ill we were, or how ill we have been. And then, so I think that's incredibly, that's a really good message, I think, just to cherish those good days. But I just want to say thank you so much for coming on, and sharing what has been thus far, yeah, a really, really interesting story, full of, I think, a lot of parts that people will listen to and recognize. And I wish you, yes, all the very, very best for the future going forward.
Thank you so much. And thank you for, you know, having me as well. And it's been great talking to you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprung's Podcast, or Instagram on Tom's_Hirschsprung's_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll bring you another episode soon.